everybody, and welcome to a Sports Talk Chicago special podcast, an exclusive interview with David Meltzer. My name is John Zagluel, owner and operator of this site. On today's show, we have an extremely compelling interview planned as we talk to David about his rags-to-riches story, as well as his two best-selling books and some NFL news. All of that and more, but first, just a few quick announcements. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at ChiTalkSports and hit me up personally on Google+, LinkedIn, and Instagram, all at John Zags, and on Twitter at John Z Sports. By the way, if you're looking for a place here in the Chicagoland area to book parties, paint your own pottery, and have art classes for both adults and children, check out the Arts and Crafts Studio by Moochie World, where inspiration meets creation. You can find them at the Tinley Park Down Shopping Center at 7913 West 171st Street in Tinley Park, Illinois. If you have any questions, give them a call at 708-247-2100. That's 708-247-2100. Before we get started today, I want to use this opportunity to thank you, the listener, for continuing to make these podcasts possible. And what I truly appreciate is that you guys are willing to listen to different opinions. The guy we're having on today is a powerhouse NFL agent who has a story to tell. This is definitely a different perspective. I mean, I've never interviewed someone in the sports business side of things before, but that's what we're doing today by talking to an NFL agent. And I'll tell you what, his story along with his perspectives on the NFL right now are definitely newsworthy and compelling. So I encourage you to tune into this podcast. And again, I thank you for your continued support and for your willingness to listen to different perspectives. And with that, it's time for our special guest. Just 9 months after law school, he became a millionaire, and by age 32, he was a multimillionaire. Unfortunately, however, things took a turn for the worst, as he lost all of his wealth and declared bankruptcy. Following this turn of events, he regained his footing, authoring two number one best-selling books while continuing his work as an NFL agent. Today, he is the co-founder of Sports One Marketing, the chairman of the Unstoppable Foundation, and the host of The Playbook, a top five iTunes business podcast. Please welcome David Meltzer to the show. David, how are you doing today? And thank you for taking the time to be here on the show.
Oh, I'm so excited to be on the show. I appreciate you having me. I'm very excited to learn more and to share what I can.
First off, David, I wanted to find out about your beginning as a business executive, because when you grew up, you really didn't have much, yet you became this successful multimillionaire at such a young age. I mean, what was your secret to success at the time?
You know, unbeknownst to me, my secret was a consistent, everyday, persistent, without quit, enjoyment of the pursuit of my potential. And my real dream was to buy my mom a house and a car. I had a single mom with six kids. And so having that dream that I worked for every day really drove me to financial success. And as you know, 9 months after law school, I was not only able to buy my mom a house and a car, but pay off my law loans, and on my way, as I made my first million within that period of time, to unbelievable wealth and financial success.
And with that success that you talked about came a tragic downfall in which you lost all of your money and, as I mentioned before, had to declare bankruptcy. What happened in between the time where you were a multimillionaire and then eventually you had nothing? I mean, how did you lose everything you earned? What happened?
It was very simple. You know, my mom always taught me and told me, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. And I actually entitled myself and surrounded myself with the wrong people and the wrong ideas, and lost four critical values in my life. I lost my gratitude, I lost my empathy, which is forgiveness, I lost my accountability, and I lost effective communication, which really hurt me from being one. It really brought my ego out of play, where I was I need to be right. I need to be superior. I need to be separate. All these different things caused me to manifest exactly what I didn't want in my life, and to manifest exactly what I was most afraid of, which was losing everything.
You know, during that time, did you ever believe that you would recover, especially in the way that you are, you know, right now? I mean, how dark were those times for you? And did you ever think to yourself, you know what, with my back up against the wall here, I'm going to do something to better myself?
You know, I had one day where I was depressed. My wife told me she wasn't happy, and I had grave concern that I was going to lose my family. And I realized that, you know, if I took stock in who I was and what I wanted to become, that I actually was in a better position at that time than I was when I graduated law school. You know, I had done all the right things. I had met people. I'd been kind to my future self. I had learned a tremendous amount. And so that if I could get my attitude and adjust the friends and family that I was surrounding myself with. And so what I did was take stock in my gratitude. I made my past wonderful, my present better, my future brighter. I took stock in forgiveness, and I forgave myself so I could give forgiveness to others. I took complete accountability. I stopped blame, shame, and justifying why I lost all my money. I took complete accountability, which was freedom. And then what I tried to do was connect to people emotionally, not only to other people, but to that which inspired me by being of service and waking up every morning praying to God that I had 10 people in front of me I could help, and by maximizing not only my potential, but enjoying that consistent, persistent pursuit of it by providing value to others, by being of service. And by doing so, I wasn't worried about the outcome anymore. But as I've learned through the universe and my studies and my speeches and podcasts and TV show, all the things that I do, because I'm focused on being of service, I create a void that the universe keeps me in the flow of abundance, and I manifest so much more than I ever dreamed of.
You know, what's interesting is that, you know, talking right now with you, you're a big-time CEO, you're a big-time entrepreneur, yet you're talking about just life lessons. You're not prioritizing profits like other CEOs, or not worried about, you know, people you work with. Would you say that has really propelled you to your success today?
Absolutely. Shifting the paradigm of value, you know, creating $100 of value and only asking for 20 back. If you detach your happiness from an outcome and not worry about the amount of money that you make or the timing of that money, but only the value that you provide, you actually create less resistance in your life. And so, although I'm in a hyper-competitive field and very successful in my sports marketing business, my media company, my TV show, my podcast, my speaking, my life coaching, and business coaching, I only focus in on being the most productive, accessible person I can and providing the most value that I can in each of those situations. And not worrying about the outcome has actually made me achieve more of an outcome than tying it to some sort of false expectation.
You know, you talked about your books. You have two number one bestsellers, one called Connected to Goodness and the other Compassionate Capitalism, A Journey to the Soul of Business. What can people expect from reading these books, and what's the general message that you're getting across in both of those publications?
Absolutely. In Connected to Goodness, what I really teach people is to dream about what they want in a certain way so they take their possibilities, and then using my principles and key elements to success, making your possibilities probability with inspiration, and then actually making it happen. So not sitting at home dreaming all the time, but living an inspired life consistently, persistently, with the right strategy, knowledge, and desire to take that probability and realize that there's only one thing that stands in your way between your probability and your perspective of reality, and that's you. And so I take you through a complete journey, very simply, step by step, kind of like Napoleon Hill does in Think and Grow Rich. Compassionate capitalism, on the other hand, is relating back to being of value and being of service, showing how you can challenge yourself to not only make a lot of money, but to help a lot of people, and more importantly, have a lot of fun.
I wanted to shift gears and talk about your time as an NFL agent and as the co-founder of Sports One Marketing. I know you started your time in the sports industry as CEO of Lee Steinberg Sports. What compelled you to get involved in being a sports agent and being in the sports industry? And take me through the growth of your own company today.
It's interesting because a lot of people want to be Jerry Maguire, and I was blessed that Lee Steinberg hired me as a CEO of his sports agency. So I was far more than just an NFL agent. I ran the entire agency for, you know, whether it be baseball, football, basketball, boxing, or a special project. But what inspired me was that I always loved sports. And I realized, differently than most people, that sports is not a job. In order to get a job in sports, you need to develop your skills, you need to hone your knowledge and ask for help, and also you need to have the correct desire, that consistent, persistent pursuit of your potential within sports. And so once I realized that I have some great attributes and some great skill sets and knowledge, technology and business, creating a direct path to revenue, philanthropy, all types of different social impact programs that I have developed, that I can use these skill sets and utilize them within sports. And I was blessed that Lee Steinberg, my mentor, shared the same vision that I did. And so I encourage all kids who dream about being Jerry Maguire or dream about being in sports to really focus in on being the best that they can be. Look at your skills, acquire the knowledge through mentorship and experience, and maintain your desire every single day through inspired life, inspired living by being of service. And you can achieve anything that you want, whether it be in sports or music or any of the fields that you love.
You know, with you being involved in the sports marketing industry and the NFL and contract negotiations too, I wanted to get your take on the current national anthem policy recently handed down by the NFL. What are your thoughts on the policy itself and also the idea of players kneeling for the anthem? What's your take on that?
Sure, there's two separate issues. One is the policy itself, and obviously the policy has to be a reaction, which is hyper-political and bureaucratized. So I think the policy is fine. I think it's a good compromise to help rectify a terrible situation. And the terrible situation that I'm talking about is that Colin Kaepernick went about a good cause and good intentions in the wrong way. So a lot of times people, unfortunately, have great intentions and a great cause, but they don't know how to effectuate it properly, and they do so in a negative manner, which ends up not really elevating the issue in the profile, but creating more conflict and more controversy. So if Colin would have, you know, been more mature and asked for help and gone to his agent, to his owner, to his coach and said, hey, I feel strongly about this issue. Can you help me build this issue and brand and profile and awareness of this issue in a positive way so that we can make a lot of money to help a lot of people and actually have a lot of fun with it instead of taking a controversial, conflictual, arbitrary, and capricious approach to a serious issue, which he had great intention for. And I think more athletes have to learn that, you know, I have people that are able to help me effectuate my intentions in a more appropriate manner that can be more productive, effective, and positive. And I just think it's a shame. And you expected Colin, you know, has his own situational knowledge and experience, but he should have asked for help. And I think he could have done himself and others a lot more justice and positive execution on what he was trying to do.
Should Colin Kaepernick have a job right now?
You know, that's not for me to say. I hope that you know, his actions have not discouraged any teams if he has the talent. You know, I'm blessed to be a business partner of Warren Moon. And, you know, unfortunately, Colin is a quarterback that, from what I've been told, fits into only a few types of programs and a few types of systems. And, you know, it probably doesn't help him that he carries baggage along with that. And it's so hyper-competitive to get that job. But I hope that, you know, the league is open enough to, if he's qualified, to give him the opportunity to play. And I would hope that if he does have the skills, knowledge, and desire to play, that somebody would give him the opportunity.
You know, you mentioned that you're Warren Moon's business partner, and obviously those who don't know, you know, Warren Moon was a great NFL quarterback, a Hall of Famer. What's it like being a business partner with him?
It's probably the biggest blessing next to being married to my wife. To have, you know, I would say my two wives, I married the most incredible woman in the world, and I have the most incredible business partner in the world. The depth, I call him QB1 Kenobi, not only to surround myself with the best quarterback maybe of all time, but someone that carries the spirit of excellence in everything that he does to do for others. 90% of everything that Warren Moon does today is for other people. And most people don't see that. They don't hear the stories. They don't know about the Crescent Moon Foundation or what he does is on the chairman of Unstoppable and building a village for kids in Africa, and doesn't know 6 days a week all the different inspirational speeches that he goes on and kids that he works with and mentoring that he does. So the biggest two blessings in my life is to be married to the woman that I found and to be married to the business partner that I found as well.
Well, speaking of the NFL, we're able to hear some interesting guests from the league and many other people on your podcast, The Playbook. And in your bio, I had mentioned that it is a top five business podcast on iTunes. Why'd you decide to start this show, and how have you made it so prominent?
You know, I felt that I had access to some of the most empowering people, you know, whether it be athletes, celebrities, entertainers, or business people, and that I had a different perspective of what questions to ask them. And so I decided to start The Playbook with the support of Entrepreneur Magazine. They encouraged me to do so. And I'm able to give insight on the playbook to success to not only NFL stars, but, you know, Hall of Fame Olympians and baseball players and business people and entertainers. And I think it's resonating with people, the types of questions that I ask that aren't necessarily about just their performance on the field, but what is their playbook to success? How has consistency helped them? How has persistency, what's their stories and motivation? And what piece of advice would they give young entrepreneurs, young athletes, young entertainers, so that they could achieve the highest level, the spirit of excellence, to be the world's best at something?
And on a final note, with you being such a successful business mogul, what advice would you have for young businessmen and women trying to make a mark in the industry?
You know, the best piece of advice that I give is to stay in business. Most people, they get out over their seats, they get confused about their focus and their intention. You have to have clarity, balance, and focus in what you're doing and direct path to revenue. But the key to being successful in business is to stay in business. And where the most successful companies and entrepreneurs that I know, every day they focus first on making sure they're in business tomorrow, understanding they detach their happiness from an outcome, understanding they provide as much value as they can. But most importantly, it's like playing baseball. The more at-bats you get, sooner or later, you're going to get a big hit. And, you know, whether you're a one-hit wonder like Jim Leyritz or a consistent player like Tony Gwynn, those guys stayed in business. They got their back again and again. And so my biggest piece of advice to young women and men who want to be successful in business is stay in business, get alignment, take action with all your heart and soul, and prepare for adjustment. Every great entrepreneur and business in America did not start out the way that they finished in great success. Whether, you know, it took 8 months or 80 years to be a $1 billion company, they all evolved and they changed with the time by staying in business every day.
David, thank you so much for being here on the show. I really appreciate the time, and feel free to come on again. It was a great interview and a great time I had with you today.
I'd love to come back, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to share.
What an honor it was to have David Meltzer on today's show. We talked about some NFL news, including the anthem controversy, his own personal success, plus his podcast and his best-selling novels. Oh, and one other thing. We now know that David's nickname for Warren Moon, the Hall of Fame quarterback, is QB1 Kenobi. I didn't know that. That's pretty interesting as well. So, all in all, a very fun, very informative conversation with David Meltzer. And again, thank you to David for being on the show today. It was a pleasure to have you on. Well, that does it for us here at Sports Talk Chicago. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at @ChiTalkSports and hit me up personally on Google+, LinkedIn, and Instagram at John Zags, and on Twitter at John Z Sports. Also, if you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to the website. You can find the subscription box on the homepage of the site and type in your email. Once you do so, you'll receive a confirmation email. And from that point on, you'll be subscribed to the website. You'll receive email updates whenever a new podcast or article is posted. Thank you for listening to today's show, and have a great day.